Hello, friends. We had a little interruption there. It seems like the entire 3G network in my area of Finland was suddenly hit, and it took about 2 hours to resolve this. We are in the Angel of the Presence commentaries, and we are dealing with Ray 1, and I was in the middle of that. I'll recap just a little bit. Around about page 44 here, the Angel of the Presence stands within the light divine, the center and the meeting place of many energies. It reminded me of the law of assembly and the powerful energies which the first ray type wields. We remember that the Angel of the Presence has to be considered that part of the solar angel which is invested within the egoic lotus, so in a way the two are one. When contacting the egoic lotus, one is also contacting the Angel of the Presence, the, let's call it, the invested solar angel. This is my present theory, and I'm, you know, going to work with it. All right, let's look back here. All right, so the Angel of the Presence is the, let's call it, invested solar angel. There is more to the solar angel than its function as a guardian of the presence and a supervisor of human progress. These forces meet and blend in the presence, on the higher mental plane of the solar angel, and he's standing within the light divine. Is that light divine promoted from the jewel and the lotus, which has its place midway between the higher mental plane and the Buddhic plane, which is an interesting place for it. And I've sometimes said, well, is it part of the egoic lotus or is it not? Is this central fire really part of the location of the egoic lotus, because the egoic lotus is located for the advancing disciple on the second subplane of the higher mental plane. But apparently the place of the central fire and the jewel and the lotus is not there. And we kind of wonder where then are the three innermost petals located, at what vibrational level are they located? So the forces that the solar angel, or rather the Angel of the Presence, will wield in the encouraging the progress of man are coming together on the higher mental plane and in the light of the jewel and the lotus, even though that may not fully be revealed yet. Perhaps to the angel it is revealed, because he cooperates so much with the human monad whose work in the lower worlds he is facilitating. What I've said here will have to be put together with what has been said in the previous truncated webinar. It was quite a surprise. But okay. These forces meet and blend, and they focus in the head of him who stands before the angel. We talked about the first ray having to do with the head center, and the head as a whole as the occult directorate of all the rest of the body. So it's the becoming initiate who stands before the angel, and we talked about the form of the angel, which may be in some ways human-like, though less dense, obviously. It may approximate the human form. Even the form of Sanat Kumara is, or at least the form that he uses, apparently is somewhat like the human form. It's really the human form that is approximating his form. So do we human beings have a quasi-human form when we stand before the angel on the inner planes, on those inner vibratory levels where initiation takes place? Well, it seems that we do, because of the way the stanzas are worded, having to do with a chakric transference between the angel and the man. Of course, the dense physical vehicle is left behind, But, well, in the initiation chamber itself, the dense physical vehicle is left behind, but as the angel begins to merge with the human being, at the third initiation, quite completely merged, then there is a chakric transference which certainly does affect the dense physical vehicle through the human chakras of the human being. Now, here comes these technical occult points. The angel of the presence views the human being and begins the transference. Eye to eye and face to face and hand to hand they stand. So it is suggested, let's just make sure that, is suggested that there are two quasi-human forms here which can allow this transference of energy from the greater to the less, to the lesser. From the greater to the lesser. The old saying is, do we see eye to eye? If we see eye to eye, we are in complete agreement. Seeing eye, eye to eye signals unity of perspective. And in this case, the eye is a great directing force. It's not only a receiving or manipulating force. You know, we think of the eye as being largely receptive, but there is the power of the eye, we are told. So let's just say angelic force is being communicated to the eye, eyes of the candidate. But we may also be speaking of the eye of vision, or the third eye, of the third eye, and which is eye to eye. It's not eyes to eyes, but, you know, generally we don't say eyes to eyes, even though we mean both eyes are involved. So we can be dealing with the directing power of the two eyes, both of the solar angel and of the man, or of the impress upon the single eye of man, of what may be the single eye of the solar angel. We don't know to what extent the anatomy of the solar angel on a higher turn of the spiral is a higher correspondence to the anatomy of man. We do know there is a heart center, and from all that seems to be said here, there seem to be chakric foci in the solar angel, which are analogous to and even higher correspondences to those in the human being. Just think that a sevenness is flowing through all beings in our cosmos, so there's no reason why the creative hierarchy of the solar angel should not also have this sevenness, if the planetary logos has it and the solar logos has it and so forth. So we're looking for higher chakric correspondences which infuse the chakras of the human being and which in some way reinforce and stimulate and empower the strength of those human chakras. So eye to eye means let's just say, a unity of sensed direction. So the eye directs towards the goal, and the solar angel impresses its goal upon the human being. Face to face, it is intimate, and the two, the identity of the solar angel is impressed upon the human being, so that the candidate, that is the human being, can consider himself as the angel of the presence in incarnation, Of course, he's really the monad in incarnation, but the monad has to pass through its own heart center in a way, which is its the egoic lotus, and takes on as well that identity. Our first transpersonal identity is that of the soul, and we realize ourselves to be the soul. Our second transpersonal identity might be considered that of the spiritual triad, which is kind of the higher soul or the truly higher ego. And then our third transpersonal, transcendental identity, in the words of Robert Gerard, eminent psychologist, transcendental self, that would be the monad. So face to face, they know each other's identity. Or the identity of the solar angel is conveyed to the man. Face-to-face conversations, you know, there is direct communication in face-to-face. Oh, there's nothing like that. Face-to-face, face conversations. So the purpose is shared, and the identity is shared, and the directness, so that nothing gets in the way of, well, I'm going to make a little abbreviation there. I'd like to FTF, and I'll call it face to face. Face to face. Nothing gets in the way of face to face communication. And hand-to-hand, so the power to do that the angel of the presence has is communicated to the man. And his, so to speak, his hand is empowered. So he sees the purpose, he knows his higher identity, and receives direct communication from the solar angel. And the power of his hand is greatly increased. Now this, of course, what follows here is fairly straightforward. Will reinforces will, and love meets love. So the monad is, in a way, Atma Buddhi, and will is Atma, and Buddhi is love, and the solar angel is taking on that role. The will of the solar angel, aligned with the divine plan, becomes the will of the man. This greater will suffuses his lesser will. And the greater love, I'm capitalizing it here even though it isn't in the text, love of the solar angel suffuses the lesser love of the man, and strengthens it. Will reinforces will, and love meets love. It's very mantric. The will to power merges with the will to love, and strength with wisdom meets. Well, you know, from whom is this occurring? Let's just say that the man has the will to power, we might say. The man has the will to power. Okay, how could I do that? Will to power. Yes, the man has the will to power, and the will to love. The solar angel has power and love. So the will to power and the, in other words, Atma Buddhi is merging in the man. Now, can we say that the solar angel has the will to power and also the will to love? Well, we could, but what we have here actually is the will to power of the man who wants to develop that power, and the will to love of the man who wants to develop that love. So when we talk about strength, it is of the will, and wisdom is of the Buddhi. Okay, so wisdom is of Buddhi. These two are one. So they merge, they are one in the solar angel already, because he's so advanced. I should be saying angel of the presence. When I say angel of the presence, I mean as much of the solar angel is really working as man. So, let me just say that. The angel of the presence is as much of the solar angel as is working in man and on the higher mental plane as man. So merges with the will to love and strength with wisdom meets. Well, as much wisdom as the man has, it's reinforced by the wisdom of the angel. As much strength as the man has, it is reinforced. There is a blending of Atma and Buddhi. So let's just put it like this. The greater Atma Buddhi reinforces of the solar angel, who is an initiate, who is an initiate of all degrees, well, I should say, of the angel of the presence. Still, the real identity of the angel of the presence is the solar angel, angel of the presence. So the greater Atma Buddhi, the angel of the presence, who is an initiate of all degrees, merges with and reinforces the strength and wisdom of the man. So let's just say the man is now rising. So let's call him the man, I guess. You know, we can also call him the candidate. CND. Oh, how about that? Candidate. How about that? Because I'm going to be talking about him quite a bit in all of these. So, candidate for initiation. The candidate is rising up to the higher mental plane to which he has access. To which he has access at the third initiation. So the will to power merges with the will to love, and strength with wisdom meets. Strength and wisdom are Atma Buddhi merged in the human form. It's a bit lower than what the solar angel has, but it is much better than what the man has had. And so we have will to power, will to love together, stimulated by the higher aspect of the solar angel, or stimulated by the angel of the presence, and we have the strength and wisdom of the man stimulated and merging. So these two pairs are merging in the candidate. The will to love, the will to love, and the will to power are merging in the candidate, and strength and wisdom are merging in the candidate, because of the greater power of the candidate, because of the fusing power of the solar angelic energies. These two are one. From now, who's at the, from that high spot of unity, the one who is released stands forth and says, now, this is not the angel of the presence, except in the sense that the man is becoming, is merging with the angel of the presence, except that the candidate is merging with the angel of the presence. The candidate is released from the lower 18 subplanes and can now have a causal consciousness in the presence of the angel of the presence. There are a couple of different presences going on here. You know, we talk about the presence. It is the monad. We talk about the angel of the presence. It's the angel which in a sense guards the man from premature exposure to the presence, but yet that angel is a presence in itself, into which the man comes when he can merge with his own causal body. As for what the entire solar angel may be as a great being, it may be that the candidate does not ever deal with the entirety of the solar angel, but with a modulated version of the solar angel, standing as the angel of the presence, or the one that can deal directly with the man. I think too much energy into the candidate would destroy the vehicles of the candidate. Everything has to be modulated. The initiator modulates the downflow of all energies accordingly, according to the capacity of the man, according to the initiation which is being considered. These two are one. From that high spot of unity, the one who is released stands forth and says, so this is the empowered man, empowered by the fusion of strength and wisdom, of will and love, and empowered through entry into the egoic lotus and causal body. We can call it conscious entry. And standing in the presence of the soul, of the angel of the presence. Standing in the presence of the angel of the presence. Well, we really, you know, we have to take this into our interior imaginative life and work out these processes and imagine that we are standing eye to eye and face to face and hand to hand if we are the first ray type. Now, as I said, we don't know whether we're dealing with a first ray angel of the presence or whether we're dealing with an emanation from a typical solar angel that can emanate along the first ray line and thereby reinforce the soul choice that the monad, the human monad, has made. But whatever it is, the angel of the presence is adequate to provide the ray that is needed. In a way, it's the monad's choice what that ray shall be, because if you think of it, how do you get the soul ray altogether? It has to do with a monadic influence upon the permanent, the triadal permanent atoms. Two forces particularly impact the permanent atoms of the spiritual triad, and they are a monadic ray. I can't say which one. I can't say which one. Will it be the ray of the monad on its own plane, or will it be what I hypothesize to be a major monadic ray, one, two, or three found on the logoic plane? At least that's where I think they would be found. They might also be found on the monadic plane. I don't know, but there are a one, two, and three on the logoic plane in the three persons of the Trinity, in which the monad may have a place when released as the volatile essence. So there is that monadic grabbing of a particular permanent atom, and it grabs it according to its nature. It'll be Atma, Buddhi, or Manas. If it's a first ray monad, you know, either sub-ray or major ray, I can't say which at this point, the atmic atom will be the polarization. If it's Buddhi from above, it'll be the Buddhic. If it's love from above, it'll be the Buddhic permanent atom, and if it's Manas from above, it'll be the Manasic permanent atom. But yet, there is going to be a polarization of the spiritual, in the spiritual triad, which is a secondary polarization, and that will determine the soul ray. Every one of the permanent atoms of the spiritual triad vibrate to the same ray, and the ray which is in the monastic position is what is particularly involved in helping to produce the causal body per se. Maybe the ninefold aspect of it, and maybe it's the solar angels particularly that are involved with higher manas. There is a group of them that are involved in producing this this egoic lotus. And maybe when there's a downpouring of buddhi to produce the three inner petals, there's some drawing or association, drawing upon or association with the Buddhic permanent atom. These things get intricate, and we don't necessarily at this point have to know all about them, but we have to get the idea that in the spiritual triad, there are basically two energies. Now, if there were three, which DK has not said, it would be from the major monadic ray, the minor monadic ray, assuming it's on the monadic plane, and from some other source. I think that would be difficult. I think more what is needed. You see, we don't know where the secondary polarization of the spiritual triad comes from. It doesn't come from below. It comes from above. There is a decision made to send forth a certain ray into the permanent atoms of the spiritual triad, and at first it will have to be ray 4, 5, 6, or 7, and not ray 1, 2, or 3. But later that polarization can change. So it's a question, well, I see the issue here. We have the monad on the monadic plane, and those monads or extensions of the major monad that are found on the monadic plane are like sub-rays of the major monadic ray. That's how I'm seeing it. And maybe the sub-ray focus could change, possibly. Well, I'll get into that. I've gotten into that periodically as I've gone along. And it is an intricate matter, and it needs to be illustrated. It needs to be shown on a map. Suffice it to say, generally speaking, there are nine possible choices of rays on the triadal level: Atma, 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 Buddhi, Atma, Manas, Buddhi, Atma, Buddhi, 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 Manas, Manas, Atma, Manas, Buddhi, Manas, Manas. And the second of the two terms is related to the soul ray, and the first of the two terms is related to the monadic ray, or rays. It gets intricate. And I could get into the intricacy, but it would be speculative, and I'm not sure whether it would be accurate. Suffice it to say, there are two rays operating, or two aspect tendencies operating in the spiritual triad. One of them is definitely a ray tendency, and the other might be considered an aspect tendency. I have discussed this, and now I'm realizing it needs to be discussed again. But anyway, these two are one. Now, from that high spot of unity, the one who is released from the 18 lower subplanes and is the candidate, who is the rising blessed one, the one who is released, and I'm going to call it here, the candidate as the rising blessed one, who may not yet realize fully that he is the blessed one, stands forth and says, okay, what does he say? I return from whence I came. Now, this is interesting. He came, well, first, he came from the higher worlds, but he is not speaking of that now. He is speaking of his rising from the lower worlds of monadic immersion up into the higher mental plane. So in the presence, of the angel of the presence, he asserts his will to serve in the lower worlds and to return from the place whence he arose. So basically, how does it go? He, that's not too good. There we go. Okay. The place from which he arose. So we start out, he is the monadic emanation, and by one means or another, he plunges into the lower worlds. But then he starts to rise and go home. Then he comes to the, he undergoes initiation in the causal body, or in that state of vibration, or that isolated vibratory space that we call the causal body. And then he says, but I will return to the lower worlds now to serve. Lost am I in light supernal, yet on that light I turn my back. It's a Capricorn kind of experience. I return from whence I came. From the formless to the world of form I make my way. So this is considering the egoic lotus as formless. It's not really formless, and nothing on the cosmic physical plane is formless, but it is relatively formless when compared to the density of the lower 18 subplanes. So I return from whence I came, from the formless world to the world of form. I make my way into the 18, and here's how he's going to behave. I will to be. So I will to be in the lower worlds. I will to persist. I will to give evidence of being. That's one way of putting it. I will to give evidence of the state of being. And above all, you know, the will to be is really the first aspect of the will, so I will to express the spirit which I am. And of course, I'm a great laborer, you know, because those, you can work on many planes, but the first rate type can definitely work with power in density. So I'll put that down. The first-rate type can work with power in density, the dense physical body of the planetary logos in this case, because the dense physical body of the solar logos includes the higher mental plane, and we're talking about leaving from the higher mental plane, going back and doing the work. I will to serve and save, and notice we have to remember that the greatest impulse... How about that? The greatest impulse of the will to save, WTS, will to sacrifice, will to save comes from Shambhala. Not only is Sanatana the greatest example of the teaching ray upon our planet, but he is even, in a planetary sense, a greater savior than is his student, the Christ. So I'm going to serve and save, in other words, in a way, work with the energies of Aquarius and Pisces. And then it's a weightlifting task. I will to lift the race. It is a great struggle. But the first ray type has the strength to do it. But the strength of the first ray type makes him adequate to the need. And now, as I said, there will always be a statement which combines, or two statements in a row which combine the plan with the whole. Because the one thing that really is achieved, well, many things, but the one thing that is achieved at the third degree is a sense of the wholeness of things. So, and the will is contacted for the first time in a real way, because the monad is contacted for the first time in a conscious way rather than a vaguely sensed presence. So I will to lift the race through strength. I serve the plan which has been conceived on the atmic level and is an expression of will as it carries out the intended purpose. I serve the plan with will, with this focused intention to bring the patterns of the plan into manifestation, an unrelenting focused intention. My willingness to embrace that pattern, be informed by that pattern, carry out and express that pattern. I serve the plan with will, this is no surprise, the whole with power. I serve the whole. And always at the third degree, one is serving the planet. So always at the third degree. One is serving the entirety of the planet, not just in a localized way, or at least the planet is in mind in the localized service. So I serve the plan with will, the whole with power. So let me go over here and bring this up. I did so many things to, you know, try to make the computer work just a little while ago. Okay. And I'll just say, I serve the plan with will. I serve the plan with will, the whole with power. So here we are in esoteric psychology, two in the places that are giving us the stanzas. All right, so just a quick review here. The angel of the presence is standing on the higher mental plane. That part of the solar angel which has been put down is standing on the higher mental plane, put down into the dense physical body of the solar logos this time, not just the planetary logos, stands within the light divine. The light divine is the light of the monad. It may be shining through the central fire, the jewel in the lotus, as much as the man may not realize it, but the angel of the presence can stand within that kind of light, because it cooperates directly with the higher monad to make sure that the monad's will and name and pattern are brought through. So the light divine here on the higher mental plane will be the center and meeting places of many forces which are to be applied with strength, love, and intelligence by the first-rate type in the lower worlds. So the forces meet and blend, and in their fusion promotes the fusion of the man with the angel of the presence, with his ego on the higher mental plane. They focus in the head of him who stands before the angel. Let us imagine two quasi-human entities standing before each other, and the head being the great example of the first ray. Eye to eye for the sense of direction and purpose, face to face for the sense of the man as the angel of the presence, man as the soul entity, man becoming that instead of just the personal entity. The face of the man is illumined by the face, the lords of the shining countenance. Well, if ever there is a shining countenance, it's that of the solar angel, who is a member of the council within the sun. So one, the lesser face is illuminated by the greater. The shining countenance of the solar angel brings about a shining identity, a shining soul identity of the human being. The candidate, we'll call him. And hand to hand, meaning the power is transferred. So what the man could not do before, he can now do, because he can work with his hand, having the power of the angel of the presence. Will, higher will, strengthens lower will. Higher love meets love and makes it deeper and more inclusive. The will to power merges with the will to love. Well, man has both of those. Does the solar angel have those? Well, I actually think he has the real thing. He has power and love. And strength with wisdom meets. This is happening in the lower man. His will and his wisdom, or buddhi, love, wisdom, are meeting and merging, and that is the ideal for the first-rate type, who is meant to be kind of a reflection of Atma Buddhi. These two are one, will and wisdom, strength and wisdom, and love and will. From that high spot of unity, which will be in the causal nature, and will it be close to the jewel in the lotus? Will it be in the higher parts of the causal body? Because I've often thought that the center of identity within the causal body is really right there in the central fire, with the rest being provided by the solar angel in his role as angel of the presence. These two are one. From that high spot of unity, let's call it the higher mental plane in general, the one who is released from the lower 18 subplanes stands forth and declares, his intention to serve. I returned from whence I came. I rose into the causal body and egoic lotus in order to return to my monadic nature, but now I go down the mountain of initiation and bring service to the lower worlds because I've been empowered. From the formless to the world of form, I make my way. And the causal body is relatively formless, and the world of form, the 18 lower subplanes. Though in a higher sense, we know that even the causal body is form, and whatever is found on the cosmic physical plane is form. I will to be, I will to represent being, I will to be as being in the lower worlds. I will to be as being in the lower worlds. I will to work, undertake great labors. Master Mori on the first ray promises us an endlessness of labor. I will to serve and save. These are the two highest things a human being can do. Serving under Aquarius, saving under Pisces. And interestingly enough, those are the two signs which follow Capricorn, in which, at least archetypally, this experience is taking place, this experience of initiation. I will to lift the race. It's a big job, and the density of the human race is very heavy. I serve the plan with will. There are all different ways of serving the plan. The plan must be implemented. It must be impressed, imposed. Well, the first ray type imposes it. And I have the higher will of the monad behind me. I've been empowered by the will of the angel of the presence. I have the necessary will. I think of the whole, and I serve it with power. Ray 1. The angel of the presence stands within the light divine, the center and the meeting place of many forces. These forces meet and blend. They focus in the head of him who stands before the angel. Eye to eye and face to face and hand to hand they stand. Will reinforces will and love meets love. The will to power merges with the will to love, and strength with wisdom meets. These two are one. From that high spot of unity, the one who is released stands forth and says, I return from whence I came. From the formless to the world of form, I make my way. I will to be, I will to work, I will to serve and save. I will to lift the race. I serve the plan with will, the whole with power. These are so inspiring. And you know, in my experience at least, with this teaching, they haven't been studied in the way they could be, and they haven't been applied as they could be. You know, frankly, most of us students of this material are not yet at the point where we can really consummate the third initiation in our energy system. And all of this is really about the third initiation. The aspects of will, love, and intelligence are all combined in these stanzas. Of course, that's the first major initiation. At the first of the preliminary planetary meditations, we do get the vision of the solar angel as intelligence and later as love and intelligence. But this is the synthesis where we can say that we are really soul-infused personalities. We are that. We are soul-infused disciples. The consciousness of the angel of the presence is now suffusing and blending with our consciousness, our normal disciplic or human consciousness. And we are more than we seem to be. We are carrying this fusion into the lower worlds. Okay. Now, do I dare go on here? I'm kind of caught in the middle, but okay, let's go on. The angel of the presence draws the wanderer to him. Ray 2, right? Love divine attracts the seeker on the way. The point of merging is achieved. Mouth to mouth and breath, the breath is drawn forth and the breath is drawn in. Heart to heart, the beating of these twain is merged in one. Foot to foot, the strength is passed from the greater to the less, and thus the way is trodden. Force inspires the word, the breath. Love inspires the heart, the life. Activity controls the treading of the way. These three produce the merging. All then is lost and gained. The word goes forth. I tread the way of love, I love the plan. Unto that plan I surrender all I have. Unto the whole I give my heart's deep love. I serve the plan, I serve the whole, with love and understanding. And you can see again how the plan and whole, they are always together, because a true appreciation of the divine plan is not really gained in some significant sense before the third initiation. And a true appreciation of wholeness is not gained either. We're on our way to wholeness, we're on our way to sensing the planetary whole after the second degree, but the real vision of the wholeness and of the passage of the energies, as DK discusses in the Capricorn chapter, that's not given until the third degree. So let's take a look here and see. The angel of the presence, again, is standing on the higher mental plane and draws the wanderer to him. This is a, let's call this, an act of gentle, and maybe not so gentle at times, magnetism. So this is the under the law of attraction. And the wanderer, it seems, this wanderer is the monad in incarnation. The monad in extension. It is the pilgrim, the jiva. But wandering, what about wandering? Well, see, wandering is not so well directed. You know, going here, going there, there's a German song I used to love to sing, it's called Das Wandern. it was all about a young man who set off on a journey. Didn't know quite where he was going, and he was a miller. I guess he worked in mills, and he wanted to hire out his abilities. And it says, wandering is the miller's joy. Das Wandern ist die Miller's, is it, der die das, anyway, Miller's Lust, his joy. And but he didn't, you know, he ran into a nice young lady, and a great love, and then tragedy ensued. You know, that's German romanticism for you. And he ends quite unhappily, I think, drowning at the end of it all. It's real Sturm und Drang of the early 19th century. I love this song. And also there's another song by Schubert called Der Wanderer. And it's much more somber. And he never can find his home. He never knows where his home is. Wherever he is, the ghostly voice whispers to him, dort wo du bist nicht, dort ist Glück. Wherever you are not, there happiness can be found. Talk about doom and gloom. But anyway, when you wander, you don't necessarily know where you're going. You don't have that clear sense of direction which comes from the vision. So we've wandered around in the worlds of Maya for a long time. So, but at a certain point, the power of the angel of the presence draws the wandering monad in extension, monadic emanation, what we think we are, it draws us to him, draws us to him on the higher mental plane. Let's just call it that. We're not yet talking about release into the Buddhic plane, which comes at the fourth initiation, however much that Buddhic plane may be experienced in part before the third, before the fourth initiation. Love divine, with which this second ray, angel of the presence, or the angel of the presence using the second ray, love divine attracts the seeker on the way. Well, the angel, being a high being, this angel is infused with not just spiritual love, but love divine, coming from the monadic level. Of course, as I've, you know, I've kind of wondered and shared my wondering, whether there is a monadic focus for the angel, solar angel, really on the cosmic astral plane, where real love divine comes into our system. Love divine from the monadic level is of lesser fullness and intensity than love from the cosmic astral plane, and these beings have been to the cosmic astral plane as far as I can tell, at least if they are going to repeat what, if they did what is going to be done for the path to Sirius when the departure is from the Earth in this solar system. So it is love, after all, which attracts the seeker. And let's just remember, we are both the wanderer and the seeker. Perhaps we wander because we are seeking. We don't know exactly what direction to go in, and hence the wandering, you know, going here, going there, in pursuit of that which we have in mind. But we don't know the exact direction. So we are starting to rise on the way, and this is not the way of higher evolution, okay, not the way of higher evolution, but the way of disciplic, okay, disciplic evolution. So it's the way of, let's call it spiritual evolution. And this is the way on a certain ray path, according to one's soul ray, really. And then, at a certain point, which is approaching the third initiation, there is time for a real merging, which will involve the will as well as simply the intelligence and love of the previous two initiation. So this is a more thorough merging, which can really be called soul infusion. Okay, not yet complete, but sufficient. You know, 75%. 75%. That's how we learn that the matter in the various vehicles achieves a certain vibratory level, and 75% atomic matter in the initiate of the third degree, and maybe 100% in the initiate of the fourth degree, although that raises problems about what you do with the physical vehicle. Maybe you just lose it, but not always, and so that has to be discussed, thought about. So love divine attracts the seeker on the way. The point of merging is achieved. And this point, let's call it in the neighborhood of the third initiation. Now, in this merging is always done in a specific way according to chakric transfer, assuming the forms of the solar angel. You know, it can also be a ball of fire and visualized also as a great lotus, but there is this angelic form which is somewhat man-like, if the drawings of Geoffrey Hodson are any idea, and the indications of the Tibetan, and then of course there is the man in his subtle vehicles, which probably maintain something of the form and the chakric locations. Mouth to mouth is the first one. The breath is drawn forth, we say, from the solar angel, or from the angel of the presence, and the breath is drawn in, and we would say, into the candidate. And this, to me, is Geminian. Now, of course, I'm imposing a little bit the three signs that are second-ray signs on this structure, but it's pretty good. Heart to heart, the beating of these twain is merged in one. And this, to me, is more Virgoan. I know Virgo is the sign through which the majority of the second ray is reaching our planet at this time. It rules the heart center in a sense, because its hierarchical ruler is Jupiter, the heart, and Neptune is also involved as a veiled esoteric ruler. We know Leo actually rules the heart, but we're in the neighborhood of the heart, and foot to foot, of course, is Pisces. Now, Pisces is another of the second ray signs. So I thought, you know, this is pretty this is pretty strong, but from another point of view, we can look at this in a ray perspective. The breath is the life, and we are dealing here with the first aspect. So let's call it, from another perspective, the breath is the life. And this means that the drawing of breath is correlated with the first ray aspect of the merging. So this is a kind of breathing the inspiring breath of the solar angel. I guess the solar angel's exhalation is sufficient to be our inhalation. Let's call it the angel of the presence. I don't want to go back to solar angel just yet. Angel of the presences. Angel of the presences. Exhalation is our exhalation is our inhalation. So this is the inspiration of the breath, inspiration of the first aspect. It is vitalizing and life-giving. We have to call the life-giving breath. So drawn forth from the angel of the presence and into the man. And, heart to heart, it's the synchronizing of the, well, it's the love and life nature. This is also life. But we're thinking of the second aspect particularly, the second aspect of divinity. The beating of these twain is merged in one, the sharing the love. And the rhythm of expression of love. So, to what does your heart beat, you know, as they say? Well, the human heart beats in desire to many things. When does your heartbeat get faster? In the presence of what? Thinking of achieving what does your heartbeat increase? The solar angelic heart beats according to divine rhythm. And those things will now excite the candidate, which excite the solar angel in due measure. In other words, our hearts beat for the fulfillment of certain objectives. Our hearts beat in common for the fulfillment of certain objectives. All right. So, mouth to mouth, the breath is drawn forth and the breath is drawn in. So there is inspiration, vitality, life-giving animation. The breath is the life. And close to the life is the will. We're dealing with the first aspect of divinity. Heart to heart, the beating of these twain is merged in one. We have a synchronized heartbeat. And so with this synchronized heartbeat, the love and loves of the solar angel, of the angel of the presence, I'm so used to saying solar angel, angel of the presence, become the love and loves of the candidate. And foot to foot, well, it's all about treading the path, and it takes energy to tread the path. So the strength is passed from the greater to the less. The strength to be active in the treading of the path, and thus the way is trodden. So it takes effort and the vitality to produce activity in order to tread the path. So there, we think about Pisces, it's not necessarily a weak sign at all. It's a sign ultimately taking great strength, and we think about the first ray coming through Pisces. But this is mostly representing the activity aspect, to be active in service. In the, let's see, how does it go? Let's see, the Aquarius, let Mercury speed the group upon the upward way, and let Taurus bring illumination of, and the attainment of the vision. Let the mark of the Savior as the group toils in Pisces appear above the aura of the group. Mark of the Savior as the group toils in Pisces appear above the aura of the group. So the mark of the Savior will appear with great toil in Pisces. Pisces is the place of toil. In other words, the unconditioned energies are that need to be reconditioned. They're unconditioned by the second aspect of divinity. They respond to the third aspect of divinity. So recondition the energies which respond to the third aspect of divinity, the energies found in relation to Pisces. So great toil and strength. Strength is needed to toil mightily in Pisces. All right, then what happens? Force inspires the word, the breath. So we're talking about the will aspect. And the communication of the higher will in words, which the breath supports. So this is the, we're dealing with the second ray and generally with the second aspect of divinity, but now we're going to get the first, second, and third aspects of those aspects. I know the light is doing strange things, you know, but I'll just have to let it be for the moment, as I don't want to stop. So it is the force of will, the force of the divine will, which inspires the word. And notice it's the word. Force of the divine will, which inspires the word. But it is the word. It's the word of God. It's the word of the second aspect. Let's just say the word must go through the voice and upon the breath. The word of God, oh, that's the will of God. What about this? The word of God must flow through the voice which is sustained by the will of the, and let's capitalize it, will of the breath. So when the second right type works, the power of will is flowing through the throat center. We have Gemini conveying the word. Gemini conveying the words which represent the word, which is the great formative word of the second aspect of divinity. Force inspires the word, the breath. Now the second aspect, love, inspires. See, with the word inspire, we are definitely taking energy from on high. With the word inspires, it is signaled that we are appropriating energy from the fiery realms, at least from the cosmic ethers. Force inspires the word, the breath, and the word has to move things forward along the path of love. The word must move, let's use the word, force things forward along the the path of love. Point of light? No. Path of love. Love will take the higher energy and inspire the heart, and the heart is the seat of the life. Now, that is communicated to us. The heart is the the seat of the life energy. The heart is the place of both light, life and love. And we've been seeing that he is going to serve and save even earlier on the first ray, but here we have some those are second ray indications in the first ray stanza. And here are first ray indications in the second ray stanza. Love inspires the heart. And as the hearts beat together, the love is magnified and becomes a way of conveying life. As the hearts beat together in rhythm, the love is deepened, love of the candidate is deepened and becomes inclusive, and the life energy is spread through the growing love. Okay. Love inspires the heart, the life. Activity, the third aspect, controls the treading of the way, and that's pretty obvious. And the second ray type, second ray soul in this case, has to have all these three. Force, love, and activity. And here the word force is being used in its first ray connotation. It's the first ray aspect of the second ray. So words of power are related to force. And through the power of the word, the second ray type may have a momentous impact. If you think about it, of course, the Buddha and the Christ did many things, but from another perspective, it was their words which have carried down the centuries and have moved men forward over the centuries. So let me put that in. It's really bright. I don't know if I can do anything about that. The sun is just where it... Oh, that's a little better. I'm not quite... Well, it's not much better. we'll just let it be. You know I'm there, and if I look a little strange, a little bit more luminous than usual, you know something's wrong. So, anyway, so we have the... It's the words of the Christ and Buddha which carry great force and have moved millions forward. Certainly, you know, when you think about treading the path and moving forward upon the path, and the words of power, their words of power have given strength of will and directed action to millions. So force inspires the word, the breath. Love inspires the heart, the life. Activity controls the treading of the way. And so think of how active Master DK is as the messenger of the hierarchy, and how many places in consciousness he goes in order to carry out his responsibilities. These three produce the merging. So the breath the force through the breath, the love through the heart, the activity through the treading of the way, when these are carried out by the candidate, when these three types of energy expression are carried out by the candidate, then the merging of angel of the presence and the candidate occurs. Now comes the harbinger of the fourth initiation. It may not happen at the third, although there can be kind of a renunciation, kind of a relinquishment of interest in the worlds of density, but eventually at the fourth degree, the losing of all and the gaining of all. So he that would gain his life must lose it, we've been told. And we are giving up our attachment in order to regain. This is in the law of repulse. So we give up our attachment in order to regain all that was relinquished. Only we regain on a higher turn of the spiral. Relinquished. Relinquished. And on a higher of the spiral. On a higher turn of the spiral. Right. By that time I could have typed the phrase, couldn't I? All right. These three approaches, these three areas of chakric interchange, the breath, and maybe we're dealing here with the breath, we may not only be dealing with the throat center, but with the center in the lungs, where vitality is found, or one of the places, one of the foci for vitality. So, and maybe more related to the first ray. I've often thought in the pranic triangle that the first and highest of these centers, it's relatively low though between the shoulder blades, will be the first ray member of that pranic triangle, the chakra above the solar, above the diaphragm, whereas the solar plexus below will have to do with the second aspect, and the spleen below the diaphragm will give the third ray expression within the pranic triangle. So always for the second ray type there is a great relinquishment because of the great attachment. So always for the second ray type, SRT. Why not? SRT. I could do all of those, but I won't right now. Second-ray type, I'll show you what I mean, second-ray type, and why not here? We have one, we call it first-ray type. Oh, this will be easy. First-ray type, FRT. So always for the second-ray type, and I think I'll give myself the pleasure of actually writing it out. Type. There is strong attachment, as was the case with the Buddha, who taught detachment, because I guess he proved, you know, through his particular choice of earth service, how very attached, in a way, he was to humanity, wanting the success of humanity. And so he remained attached when he might have chosen for detachment, and that choosing for detachment would have been the correct way to go. So then the idea of loss is very connected with the second ray. Okay, the idea of loss, very connected with the second line of energy and with the second ray. Maybe some first ray types will say, oh, who cares, it's only life in form, you know, it's the ray of the destroyer would have a different kind of idea. Those upon the ray of the destroyer would have a different kind of idea. All then is lost and gained as a result of this merging, which brings, which strengthens the throat and lung center, which strengthens the heart center, and I suppose the centers in the soles of the feet are strengthened as well. And these are peculiarly the method by which the second ray type achieves this merging, to forcefully speak the word which conveys the plan, the word of the soul, to augment the love and synchronize one's heart beat with the beat of others, so one knows the aspirational nature, the desire nature. So one, you know, with a synchronized heartbeat with another, symbolically at least, one knows the heart's desire. And the foot is strengthened to go from here to there, using the power of Mercury, I suppose, and making and connecting all the unconnected entities into one unity. I'm thinking about how St. Paul traveled in the old days from place to place, and wherever he went, he was cementing or unifying the body of Christ. And I think this can be found with other teachers as well. They go from place to place for the sake of promoting unity. So the teachers have gone from place to place to promote a unity among the followers or the adherents. In the case of Paul, it was the Christian community, and there were others in the East who, traveling in that way, would unite those who were on the same path. So, the word goes forth. Always the word is going forth, especially with the second ray. I tread the way of love, of unitive cohesion, of the power to draw into oneself. I'm wondering here, you know, there is a great definition of love, and I ran into it not so long ago, and I wonder if it is available. All of these, maybe not. I have too many things here. Too many things. Love, definition. Wisdom, love, definition. This is the ability to love that which is objective or the not-self, and ultimately to use with wisdom the form. But that's love-wisdom definition. I wonder if it's possible to find not so much that as the other one. Let's just say love, okay? And then that's going to be a highly popular word in these AAB extracts. And we'll see from the very first if there's something. Love, an excellent definition. Okay, there it is. Love is an aspect of the will, which is a point very little realized by the mass of men. And so this is love. This is how he sees it. And that's the one I was looking for. It is the will to draw into itself, or the will to attract into itself. And this will, when exerted towards that which is not material, we, in reaction to the differentiating mind, call love. Quite beautiful, I think. Quite beautiful. And, okay. It is the will to draw into itself, or the will to attract into itself. And this will, when exerted towards that which is not material, because one day into the worlds of form that love must fail to penetrate, when it is exerted towards that which is not material, we, in reaction to the differentiating mind, call love. Anything else here which is important? Love, wisdom, service definition. Oh, love is response to contact, and this in the human being means understanding, inclusiveness, and identification. Wisdom connotes skill in action as a result of developed love and the light of understanding. It is the awareness of requirements and ability to bring together into a fused relationship the need and that which will meet it. Service is essentially a scientific mode of expressing love, wisdom, under the influence of one or other of the seven rays, according to the soul ray of the serving disciple. Isn't that marvelous? Those three, love, wisdom, and service, all together from Esoteric Astrology 494. And love is relationship to divinity, and wisdom is relationship to form. All right, well, that will be enough of those definitions. In the beginning of Glamour, A World Problem, I think he also gives definitions of love or speaks of it in a more cosmic sense. I'll try to pull back here a little bit so that that glow... it's just going to be that particular time of day if I'm doing these sometime here, you know, in the middle afternoon. That's just what happens through the window. All right, so the word goes forth. I tread the way of love. But what do I love? Do I love? You know, it's so interesting whom we're supposed to serve. We're supposed to serve the plan, those whom the plan serves, and then and only then those who serve the plan. Oftentimes we put the cart before the horse, and we're, you know, we talk about we're serving the hierarchy because the hierarchy is foremost in mind. To one of the sixth-ray disciples, DK said, well, your orientation is primarily to us first. And he tried to reorient the man to humanity. So what do we love? Well, if the plan is served, it will bring about the welfare of all humanity. So I tread the way of love, which is the way of a growing coherence of all entities and beings in such a pattern that it reflects the beautiful archetype intended by the planetary logos. A pattern of harmonious coherence is produced, and it is a pattern which is not just existing in its own right, but a pattern which is reflective of the intention towards divine coherence in the consciousness of the planetary logos. I tread the way of love. I love the plan. I love the arrangement that is supposed to be. I love the energies which promote arrangement and which cooperate with each other to promote arrangement. Unto that plan I surrender all I have. And this is a particularly second ray way of doing things, to give up all, to give all. Well, all the masters eventually do that, but one thinks about the complete self-abnegation and the complete self-surrender of the Pisces, maybe in one sense the major of the second ray signs cosmically considered. I tread the way of love. I love the plan. Unto that plan I surrender all I have. Only the empty nail-marked hands can truly confer the blessing. How does DK describe that? I'm going to go into a another one of these, bring it up. More than one, and let's see, only the empty, well, that probably is it. Only the empty nail-marked hands can keep the chain complete. This is the great chain of hierarchy, and only they can hold the supporting hand of the one above and the kneading hand of the one below. At the same time, only those empty nail-marked hands in the appearance of the cross, held up in the appearance of the cross, can give out the full bounty. So the word goes forth, I tread the way of love, I love the plan. Unto that plan as it is conceived by the masters in response to the purpose, conceived by the custodians of the will, I give my heart's deep love. I surrender all I have. I surrender all I have. Meaning I hold nothing back. Okay, let's see. We say that hold nothing back for the lower self, the personal ego. I give everything to the whole, unto the whole, not just the part, not just the particular ones around me, the near ones for whom my special, to whom my special feeling of love may be directed, but to the wholeness first of humanity, the wholeness of humanity, the wholeness of the planetary logos, the wholeness eventually of the solar system, and on, so I love the whole. I give my heart's deep love to all, in this sense, non-discriminately, you might say. Non-discriminatively, or discriminately. Is there such a word? There's certainly a word discriminatively. I serve the plan, because I love the plan so much. I serve the whole, the wholeness in which I am immersed, with love and understanding, because I've been there, you know. In other words, understanding. I understand because I have experienced the same, or close enough to the same, so I know exactly what you are going through, or close enough to the same, so I know exactly what you are going through. The word goes forth, I tread the way of love, I love the plan. Not just those whom the plan serves, though I love them as well, but I love the plan the most, because it is not just some sort of intellectual conception about what is supposed to be done, but it is the very energy of relationship which has to be instilled in the lower worlds. The substance of the plan is a living relationship of energies. So the substance of the plan is a living relationship of energies. I love the plan. Unto that plan I surrender all I have. And, you know, this is without reservation. And, and as it said, holding nothing back. In other words, lower ego is burned on the pyre. Pyre. It is no obstacle to the giving of all. Well, you know, we have that from the Christ. Greater love hath no man than that he lay down his life for a friend. And a friend is a fellow human monad, a brother. This is the great test. And of course, the corollary of that is to live one's life for a friend. Some people find it easier to relinquish the life and all of its immediate responsibilities than to uphold and live for the other. Both are needed, I think. Unto the whole, and not just the part, unto the wholeness of the of humanity and of the planet, I give my heart's deep love. I feel in a beautiful, cohesive, harmonious relationship with all beings, given their inner nature. I serve the plan above all, and I serve the whole with loving cohesion and the sense of empathy, a real, well, under a real standing under, a real identification with all that others are passing through. We can say then that I know. And with the Christ, we can say he knew what was in man. That was loving understanding. The Christ knew what was in man. This was the acme of loving understanding. Okay. And of course, he had been there, and he had been in all these circumstances, and the masters, we are told by the Tibetan, have gone through everything that a human being could possibly go through, maybe not identically, but close enough. And so they realize, by similarity of vibration, the nature of what is the present circumstance of anyone with whom they are embracing in the energy of love and treating with the energy of wisdom. Let's repeat this now, and we'll do it here. Kind of a review. The angel of the presence draws the wanderer to him using the power of loving magnetism, love divine, from the higher cosmic ethers, attracts the seeker on the way, even from the cosmic astral plane, which the angel of the presence may be able to access. The man is the seeker. He's wandering. He knows not where he's going, but at least he's seeking to find the fulfillment of a certain vision which he carries, even though his steps may not be precisely in the direction of the revelation. The point of merging between angel of the presence and the man is achieved through these chakras of, you know, concerning the mouth center, the throat center, the lung center. The breath of life is drawn forth from the angel of the presence and drawn in, and the man becomes a more, still more living being, immersed in greater livingness than heretofore. Heart to heart, the heart of the solar angel, which is already so important, isn't it, in terms of that through which the silver thread passes and is anchoring itself finally in the brain of man, even though DK has said the silver thread is not the best way of describing it, but still a kind of a sutratma, a life thread is involved here. Heart to heart, the beating of these twain is merged in one. So not only, you know, it's like seeing eye to eye in the first ray, it's seeing heart to heart, or feeling heart to heart, or being heart to heart, or having a heart to heart relationship. So that for which the heart of the solar angel beats becomes that for which the heart of the candidate beats. Foot to foot, there is strength conveyed. The will aspect, the strength aspect, and the activity aspect are directly related. Strength is conveyed to give sufficient activity upon the path, to tread the path, go where it is needed, and unite the different destinations into one relationship, as the preachers of old did. It is force of the first ray aspect that inspires the word. It's the word of the solar angel, or angel of the presence. And through the breath, through the power of speech sustained by the breath, the word of the soul is to go forth, and that with the will behind it, the will that there will be a response to the word and a correlation of one's thoughts, feelings, and activities with the organizing word, the geometrizing word, we can say. It is love. Love inspires the heart, and greater loving cohesion is the result, and a livingness felt in love, because the heart is also the center of life. So we know how living true loving relationships are. And it's the love of the solar angel, or the love of the angel of the presence here, which inspires the human heart to expand and include and bring into a state of loving vibrancy all that that heart contacts. Activity controls the treading of the way of the third aspect of divinity. So we have first aspect, second aspect, third aspect. And we are, you know, we're not just going to sit there. Sometimes the second ray type can sit there, but when you read about his work in around page 300 or so of Esoteric Healing, we see that one of the diseases, the disease is caused by the second ray use of energy, because of all that rushing around attempting to carry vitality and love here and there with no restraint. So we sometimes think that, like the Buddha, he would just sit. But the Buddha wandered constantly, didn't he? He went from place to place with his mendicants, with his disciples, and conveying the teaching on foot, you would say. So activity is necessary in the treading of the way. These three together, the force in this area of the body and of the heart and of the foot produce a, when rightly used, produce the merging of the angel of the presence and the candidate, the disciple. And as this merging proceeds, everything is lost from the three lower worlds, all attachments within the three lower worlds, but their noumenon is gained, and nothing is ever really lost. As a matter of fact, through this relinquishment, all is regained on a much higher turn of the spiral. The word goes forth, and this is actually the word of the man himself, of the candidate, who is now inspired with love, has the power to speak the word, has the power to speak the word. See, force, power, to speak the word of the soul, and who has the strength to go where needed to take that word. I tread the way of love. I love the plan. Foremostly, I love the plan. Unto that plan, I hold nothing back. I surrender all I have. I give without restraint, without secret reservation. I put all upon the altar of the plan. Unto the wholeness, which I now sense because I'm a third degree initiate in this stanza, I give my heart's deep love, not just loving the part, but loving the whole. And I think that should be said here non-discriminatively, and let us say not just loving the part, but loving the whole. And that's quite an exercise. If you set yourself to it and look all around you and you think of everything that is engaged in conflict and horrific situations and so forth, what does it mean then to love the whole? And then finally, I serve the plan. I give my heart's deep love to everything in the whole and to the whole itself. And that's interesting. Not just to my I give my heart's, well, I better go back here, otherwise I'm going to lose it. Deep love, right. So I give my heart's deep love not only to all the parts of the whole, but to the wholeness itself. Now there is a, in the stage of isolated unity, it is the whole that is isolated, and all the parts are seen as part of that whole. So what does it mean, we might ask, that we love the whole as well as the parts within the whole? We can meditate on that. I serve the plan as it is coming forth from the custodians of the will and is given to them by the registrants of the purpose. I serve this atmically created plan reflecting the monadic and logoic purpose, and I serve the whole with love, the magnetism of love, the fusion of love, and the deep understanding which comes from much experience, treading the way that is now trodden by those who have to be understood. So now I will just read it. I know I've gone way over, and this is more like an hour and a half program than it is an hour and 40 minutes. Well, well, well. Ray 2. The angel of the presence draws the wanderer to him. Love divine attracts the seeker on the way. The point of merging is achieved. Mouth to mouth, the breath is drawn forth, and the breath is drawn in. Heart to heart, the beating of these twain is merged in one. Foot to foot, the strength is passed from the greater to the less, and thus the way is trodden. Force inspires the word, the breath. Love inspires the heart, the life. Activity controls the treading of the way. These three produce the merging. All then is lost and gained. The word goes forth. I tread the way of love. I love the plan. Unto that plan I surrender all I have. Unto the whole I give my heart's deep love. I serve the plan. I serve the whole with love and understanding. And, you know, I would really recommend that we experiment with the imagination as if seeing the solar angel or the angel of the presence before us and imagining what this exchange would be like, using our imagination to see us drawing the life breath from the solar angel, synchronizing our heartbeat with its heartbeat, and receiving the strength in the feet to tread the path. Of course, the feet mean many things. You know, you can run here and there on the internet without having to leave your chair. But still, the idea is we need the strength to travel. I would suggest that we try this and try to make each one of these stanzas, according to our soul ray, as real as it can possibly be, as real to us. Because these are fantastic occult hints having to do with the real method of merging with this higher tutelary deity we call the solar angel, as represented through the angel of the presence within our own higher nature. So really becoming us in a way, identifying with us, becoming us, fusing with us and as us for the time being. It will reach forth. It will merge with what we are, the disciple in incarnation. And there's a specific science to the merging. So let's see what is indicated here about that science. Okay, friends, I don't know what my friend Brett will do here when faced with this kind of overrun. I guess I'm getting less careful somehow, but this is the end of the Angel of the Presence Commentaries, number 3. And I suppose we're pretty much still on the same page. This is page 47. That's what it is. Okay. So. Okay, page Esoteric Psychology 2. Page 47. And we actually began that on 46 up here. Number 3 and its beginning. And let's see if I can find the place where we began. Beginning, oh, it looks like, yeah, we began with Ray 1. Okay, and where did Ray 1 begin, really? I think it's page 45. I'd like to get this all a little bit straight. Wouldn't it be good? And then we will go on to a different approach altogether. We will go on to Ray 3. So we'll say, beginning of Angel of the Presence, Commentaries 4, EP 2, and page 47. All right. That program, I'm ashamed to say, is 1 hour and 43 minutes. Oh. Well, it's a long one because I've done both Ray 1 and Ray 2 in that program. Of course, the other one was truncated. Suddenly, the whole network failed on me. So these two programs together have been about 2 hours and 15 minutes. Friends, we'll be seeing you shortly.